8:15 here on 2SER Breakfast.
My name's Tess Connery and I am here getting you through. It is that time to delve into the world of cinema, a world I confess I do not know a lot about, but I do my best. I get a lot of my opinions from Michael Jones and he joins us now to run us through the movie reviews of the week. Morning, Michael.
Good morning.
What are we looking at this week?
Well, school is slowly breaking up over the next couple of weeks, and I've got three films which are probably all totally inappropriate for school children
that
are
useful.
Coming out today. I'll start with Can You Ever Forgive Me, starring Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant, directed by Marielle Heller, who did Diary of a Teenage Girl. This is based on the memoir by celebrity biographer Lee Israel. Back in the 1980s, Lee Israel, played by Melissa McCarthy, is struggling to make ends meet. Nobody's interested in her celebrity bios anymore. She refuses to play the game, the schmoozing, the book signings, the meeting for the fans and all that stuff. That's how her literary agent describes it, playing the game. She's also become a bit of an alcoholic, so she's a bit sad. And misery does love company, and she soon finds it with fellow alcoholic Jack Hock, played by Richard E. Grant. He's sort of playing an older, gayer version of his character from Withnail and I. And so it's not a big stretch for him. But whilst researching her latest book, Lee Israel comes across a personally written signed note from one of her subjects. Desperate for money, she decides to pocket it first and then take it to a book dealer.
Of course.
Who actually pays her for it. And so her forgery scheme begins.
Ooh.
Yeah, she realised, oh, I can make money out of typing up fake letters and signing them. Look, this film is definitely an awards nomination vehicle for Melissa McCarthy. Lee Israel, she's not a glamorous character nor a particularly likeable one, though one suspects McCarthy does make her much more likeable than the real person.
What sort of genre is this in? Because Melissa McCarthy, always brings to mind comedy, but this doesn't sound cheery.
Well, that's it. This is kind of very, very dark comedy, but it's not cheery. It's actually kind of depressing.
Okay.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy, she also has great rapport with Richard E. Grant, and it's actually the friendship between the two characters that they play that fill this film out. Without that, it would really just be a movie about a desperate woman ripping off book dealers and autograph collectors out of a few hundred dollars at a time in the pre-internet age. And all the while feeling little remorse about it and making it seem like a victimless crime. The film also makes alcoholism kind of just seem quaint and amusing rather than the sort of destructive anti-social addiction that it really is. I mean, anybody who watches this film who has any experience dealing with real-life alcoholics will kind of see through this straight away and be kind of irritated by it. I know I was. Mm. Look, Can You Ever Forgive Me? It's getting a lot of praise from critics, but you can be forgiven, given its unpleasant subject matter and the unpleasant people in it. You can be forgiven if you don't enjoy it.
Oh, no.
Moving on to a couple of films that I did enjoy.
Okay, good. We're on the up.
Films that reminded me never to trust the Germans. I'll start with a film called Overlord. This one stars Jovan Adepo, Wyatt Russell, Matilda Olivier, John Magara and Pilou Acebec. It's directed by Julius Avery, who did Son of a Gun. In the early hours of June 6, 1944, a platoon of American paratroopers are dropped behind enemy lines. Their mission is to take out a German radio tower located in a small French town. Of course, in the chaos of the airdrop, the platoon is soon reduced to little more than the remnants of a section. The paratroopers need to continue their mission, but on the outskirts of this small French town, things start to take a turn for the weird as it becomes clear that the Germans are doing something a little more sinister than transmitting radio signals from what turns out to be a vast multi-level complex.
Ooh, oh, like underground?
Could be. Look, I don't want to give away too many spoilers here, but Overlord is a highly entertaining drive-in style B picture containing enough extreme violence, gory special effects, very charming French leading lady, zombies,
wow,
evil Nazis, and plenty of black humour to keep schlock horror fans drooling at the prospect of a sequel. Whilst the premise of this film is totally absurd, at least the film doesn't change history like films like Tarantino's Inglourious Bastards did. That infuriated me the way he changed history at the end. Well, people will know what I'm talking about. But there is one noticeable historical inaccuracy in this film, though. No African-American paratroopers were actually dropped into Normandy on D-Day. and a couple do feature in this film, so I was scratching my head there. But anyway, who cares? This is a Nazi zombie film, and if you want historical accuracy, you can go and watch Band of Brothers again. Overlord, it's a high energy, great fun, and deserves to lord it up at the box office this week. Get the jump on your horror-loving friends and drop in to see it today.
Oh, good.
Moving on to our final film of the day, appropriately called Climax.
Oh, there we are.
Starring Sophia Boutella, Taya Carlos Schott, Romain Guillemeric, and Sohelia Yacoub, and some other French people you probably don't recognise the names of. It's written and directed by Gaspar Noé, whose name you probably should recognise if you've watched a bit of French film. He's responsible for Irreversible. Look, this film's set in the mid-1990s. A group of European, mostly French dancers, have gathered in an empty remote school building to rehearse. The rehearsal goes fantastically well, it's time to party, so it's sangria all round. But the party soon takes a turn for the bizarre when the dancers start to feel kind of odd and finally realise that their sangria has been spiked with LSD.
Oh, I was going down the zombies path.
We've been to the zombies. LSD freakouts. Now, this is a Gaspar Noé film, so things quickly go downhill from there. The opening 10 minutes of the film features an extended, highly choreographed dance sequence that's quite kind of amazing to watch. It's all filmed in one shot, and apparently it took about 16 or 17 takes to get that right. And expect plenty more long single-shot sequences in this film, but these are much more sort of anarchic and chaotic as the party is moved well and truly out of control and is in full swing as the acid has taken effect by this stage. The movie was shot in chronological order. Some characters seem to really get off on the experience while others descend into paranoia and madness. Of course, everybody wants to know who spiked the sangria. Accusations are flying in this anarchic atmosphere and mob rule occasionally takes over. And bad decisions are made with life-threatening and life-ending consequences.
Whoa!
Like I said, this is a Gaspar Noé film. Just about all the dialogue in this film is improvised, so be prepared for a lot of people shouting over the top of each other. Yeah, so apparently the original script was only about 5 pages long.
I love that concept because they've just got a bunch of actors in the room and they're like, now pretend you're really high. Go.
Yes, I'm sure they've had no practice at that ever. Look, watching Climax is at times shocking. It's also intense. It's horrifying and excruciating, but definitely never dull. If you enjoy challenging cinema, Climax will definitely get you off. But like I said, never trust the Germans.
All right, that's the overarching message to take away. Thanks, Michael.